This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are all in this together. 98.5 The Sports Hub and Beasley Media Group is committed to serving our community and helping local businesses. If you're a business owner, facing difficulty, attend a free 30-minute webinar called Crisis Management for Local Businesses, presented by Beasley Media Group, full of actionable insights, timely advice, and relevant data. Critical data points to enable your business to not only endure these difficult times, but to emerge stronger when they're over. To register, go to 985thesportshub.com and search for crisis management for local businesses. And thank you. All right, Rich, what are we doing here? Obviously, something that's gives us a break.
It is our TNR top moments bracket in lieu of any kind of March Madness. And I don't even know if this is to determine which one's the best. I'm just picking stuff that I like.
Yeah,
and stuff that the listeners have requested.
Yeah, let's not
There's no science or seeding or anything that. These are just things that have been requested by the listeners because, as we said, in times like these, you need the yucks. It's a substitute for the yucks jukebox. So let's get to our very first moment in the TNR top moments bracket. Let's go back to 2007, in the early days of the show, Fred Tutcher's famous interview with Incubus.
So here's the deal. Incubus, I knew I was supposed to interview Incubus yesterday. I thought I was interviewing them at 4:15 or something. So Crash and I and our wives got to the venue at 4. Incubus then was, of course, going to be moving it back to 7. I went and I started drinking some wine. Then I became concerned that I was going to slur my words. So at about 6:15, I stopped drinking and started drinking soda and eating a lot, like anything to try to like not slur.
Right.
The next thing you know, it's time for the interview and I'm scared. I'm really scared. I'm like, I think, like, a 6'2", 200-pound guy, like, I didn't think I had that much to drink today. I certainly didn't have any hard liquor. I didn't do any shots.
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, you know, some beers, and then I had a few glasses of wine. I didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. But the more nervous I got about it, the more I could not control my voice. So at the beginning of this interview, I'm sitting down. It's Bradley J., the jock here, who's been here forever, is to the farthest right. He's just sitting there, though. He's not going to be part of the
interview. He's not going to be part of the interview, right.
I am sitting next to him. Adolfo is sitting next to me, and Crash is sitting next to Adolfo. Mm-hmm. There is a mic in front of Adolfo Gonzalez. At no point during this interview does he open up his mouth, despite the fact that I'm flailing in the wind. Adolfo says the microphone wasn't working. He was obviously lying. It was one of his horrible lies that he tells that no one believes.
I was not there, by the way, just so it doesn't. So no, you don't think I was leaving.
Rich
Fred
wasn't
out there.
So it's me and the gentleman from Incubus, and I'm very nervous.
And you have not heard this yet?
No.
Okay. Sitting across from you is Brandon and Mike.
Okay, Brandon and Mike from Incubus. I don't have any notes in front of me. I lost my notes. I have no idea who I'm interviewing. And I'm so scared that I'm slurring, that I'm going to slur, that I'm afraid to ask anybody about who I'm interviewing. Crap.
What's up? It's Touch Room Rich, and we are out here with the band that is headlining the big day in the park, or the big...
Band camp.
The big thing that's happening. We're here with Brandon and Brian.
Yes, Brian.
Brian, and
nice to meet you, man.
We are here. And Brandon, do you ever look at Metal Sludge?
Do I ever look what?
At the website metalsludge.com.
Uh-uh.
There is...
Well, first of all, right off the bat, at least you got their names correct. Oh, right. Sorry you didn't.
My bad.
But that's
sorry,
fine.
I don't
but
know the guitar
fine,
player
whatever.
For Incubus's
name.
Yeah,
uh-uh.
There is a thing that you had best hair in high school.
Yes.
And you also were most attractive.
Yes.
This is... So when you sing about angst, I feel it's difficult to do that because you actually were phenomenal looking at this place. Is that correct?
What I want to know is, the more that you drink, do you get more and more flattering to people around you? Or you're not like the violent drunk, are you? You're like the...
No, trust...
Just nicer and nicer and nicer and...
Trust me. He becomes more of our friend, and that's the only reason we can put up with him with the show. Is
right.
Because we try to keep him drunk all the time.
I can tell.
It smells like alcohol over here, actually.
I can tell.
I can smell it.
I smell like alcohol.
Did anybody have that word said?
But Brandon, you did win these things in high school.
Mm. There was a trophy, too.
Did you actually win a trophy?
Yeah, was it just a trophy? They gave me the key to the high school.
The superlative that you got, like just in the...
By the way, ding, 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 representing with superlative and getting it out correctly.
How
thank you
that?
Very much.
But you couldn't get this right.
I spoke well. The superlative that you got, like just in the yearbook, or was it like actually a trophy?
Yeah, it was a trophy. They gave me the key to the high school. I actually own the high school now.
I actually don't believe that.
No, it's
you're,
true.
You're being sarcastic.
And these are high honors in suburban Los Angeles.
I broke into a few high schools actually, just to do a few of them. So you had like a trophy case, like you were.
Way to go,
Crash! Just...
I broke into it. I don't know where this joke's going. So, let's not...
So, did you have a trophy case in high school? Thanks a lot, Crash.
I spoke well.
Do a few of them. So, did you have, like, a trophy case? Like, you had the thing there? You were...
No, I'm f***ing around. I didn't win anything.
Okay.
He actually did. Was that nervous for you that you had such a beautiful lead singer?
I didn't go to the same high school, so...
But two members of the band did.
No, actually, I did go to the same high school. I went for half of my high school career to the same high school as the other guys in the band did. And then I spent my last 2 years at high school in another school with, like, 10 other people.
Like dirty kids?
Yeah. I went to the school where kids don't really have to work hard. It's
was it
like
a situation of parents moving or just...
See, okay, now Mike's doing a great job.
Right.
That's the guitarist. He's doing a great
job.
He's
like, look at this guy's had a bit to drink.
He's rolling with the punches. He's like, oh, this is kind of funny. All right.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of funny.
And notice how Brandon, lead singer, has completely stopped talking.
I imagine, I think that I offended him by saying that he won
the best hair in high school.
In high school.
But notice...
And that he is a beautiful man. I mean, there's no question.
Well,
actually,
what you said was
you actually were phenomenal looking.
I just wanted to say the words that were the hardest. I just wanted to say the words that were the hardest to say.
Hard. It's more was it like a situation of parents moving or just like you had to get out?
You know, I didn't react well to school. Wasn't really my favorite thing in the world. You know.
So how did you react in classes and stuff? How was that?
I'm not very studious, so I didn't respond well to the authority of being in school, I guess.
Did you call out and stuff in classes, or was it just a...
What do you mean? Was I what? Sorry?
Did you call out in classes?
You mean like disrupts the
classes?
Yeah,
disrupt
like
classes.
Yeah, I used to throw things a lot. I'd throw chairs and...
Okay.
Hit teachers and
you threw chairs?
Yeah.
Hit teachers?
I went to school in Miami, as you can tell with the shirt that I'm wearing. It's crap. We had these huge fans, and I used to throw BBs in them. And I took a kid's eye out one time, and
wow,
I've never
forgotten
that. Wow,
sorry to hear that.
So you
yeah, that kid's
shirt.
Probably bummed right now. But
yeah, well, he actually went on to be a lot better than me. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just like a third
well,
member
that's
of this
fortunate.
Crap show.
That's really cool.
So you
good to hear.
Literally hit teachers?
Crash is not helping me at all.
No.
Like, ask anything.
Right.
Like, hey, who are your influences?
Right.
Anything.
Even the most just
have
awful
you seen
benign
Superman?
Questions.
Yeah, have you seen Superman?
Yeah.
Anything. I'm drowning here.
I spoke at all.
I hit a teacher with a ruler one time because she hit me with a ruler, so I just was returning the favor. That's
kind of old school. Yeah, they shouldn't hate you.
I know. I guess some people are kind of old-fashioned, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the teachers that I had weren't the nicest people. So, Brandon actually too. Like we both actually got hit by the same ruler. We had the same teacher that hit us
Brandon,
with a ruler.
Brandon, you got hit with a ruler too?
What's that?
You got hit with a ruler too?
I'm sorry, I checked out a long time ago.
No,
what are you guys talking about?
I was talking about how we got hit with rulers when we were in school, when we were kids. And,
yes.
And that's probably why we're so angry. It's because
that's where the angst is coming from. You see,
the rulers they hurt.
We're all trying to get back at that one teacher who hit us both with
the
ruler.
And the ruler is kind of representative of a deeper kind of angst that kind of like manifests itself in the music.
Yeah, right. Rulers have been sort of demonized in our world, and that's kind of the actual philosophical basis for all the
is
music that we write.
Right,
somebody get Fred a straight jacket. Can I ask one question, Bradley J?
Oh, okay.
Oh, all
yeah.
Right.
Here
now Bradley J is here to save the day.
Savior of the interview. All right. So he's
someone get Fred a straight jacket.
So apparently Brandon, I guess, was, you know, checking out, just looking around, not having anything to do with the interview. He even said, you know, I checked out a while back. So Bradley J is like, time to save the day. Let's get this thing going. Let's get him back on our side.
Absolutely. So here we go. Bradley J saving the day.
Somebody get Fred a straight jacket. Can I ask one question, Bradley J?
Yes, please.
First
do.
Of all, I came into the show on the public bus. You should have seen it. You would have loved it. Mm. Everybody on the city bus is going, Incubus, rah, rah, rah. So it was like,
nice.
You know, it was a big deal.
That didn't happen.
That never happened.
That never happened. I mean, there's saving the day, and then there's, there's wordplay intercourse that you're having.
I don't
right
mean to
here.
Channel Anthony here, but were they chanting Incubus?
Incubus, rah, rah, rah. So it was like,
nice.
You know, it was a big deal.
Right on.
One quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the new songs are at such a high level. They're sophisticated.
Please pull down your pants.
My life. You know what? I was homeless for a long time, and then I discovered your new album, and I'm actually now living on a yacht with two beautiful women.
I mean, the new songs are at such a high level. They're sophisticated. They're like oil and water. How do you continue to keep it going up and up and up? I mean, you're already doing as good a job as you can. How come the next one is always better? And with other bands, it generally tends not to be that way.
Thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate that. We like to continually challenge ourselves and each other in songwriting. And Michael has continued to progress as a musician. And so it's one of the reasons why it's so fun for me. I know Michael, too, is that it's just another form of communication.
We sometimes play Gandalf or Incubus.
It's so boring what he's saying.
I know.
Can you imagine if that was the interview? In all honesty, can you imagine if that was the interview?
I mean, if like the whole time you're hearing
everybody on the city bus is going, Incubus, Incubus.
And I find songwriting to be puzzle making for fun and love.
And then Frank goes out.
We sometimes play Gandalf.
Gandalf or Incubus.
And sometimes
I smell that alcohol smell again.
Yeah, do you have anything, like, good to offer the conversation besides booze breath?
No.
Actually, no. What exactly is the point? What is the point?
Stop that.
What an a-hole.
I gotta hear that whole thing over again.
I will do that. But how funny is that? Like, will you please let this gentleman continue kissing my ass?
Yes, please.
I have an ass here who needs to be freshly kissed.
I love it. Now, were you just looking him right in the
eye?
We
could have had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how much I love silences.
Oh, it's the best. And you're just looking him in the eye.
Here's the thing, and here's what I told our program director, too, is that I'm, like, aware of, I, like, remember the interview, and I was aware of what was going on, but I was aware of how much I was slurring, and at the end of it, I'm just trying. I'm just like, you know what, dude? You don't like this, so I'm going to do it as much as I can.
Just another form of communication.
We sometimes play Gandalf or Incubus at sometimes.
I smell that alcohol smell again.
Yeah, do you have anything, like, good to offer the conversation besides booze breath?
No.
Actually, what exactly is the point? What is the point?
I'm starting to smell like flatulence over here, too.
I know.
I smell like flatulence.
I wasn't accusing you. I wasn't accusing you.
Crash. No, don't, please.
Crash?
Oh, Crash. It's just like, I'm staying away from this train wreck.
Yeah, he's like crapping himself. I know the guy doesn't do interviews very often, but
he's thinking of crapping himself.
I smell like flatulence.
No, don't, please.
All right. Well, Incubus is the headliner tonight. Uh-huh. You guys sold out Madison Square Garden. You guys have sold out the Forum. And thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
How about a cup of coffee? Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Absolutely.
Cold water,
some ice water.
Cold shower. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We know all the tricks. We've been on the road for a long time. So
something. You got to give me something to make me feel better about myself and the way that we're doing things.
Right. Or just even a hint of, like, professionalism on the radio, you know?
Oh.
That would be sweet.
Well, that would be the end of me.
Really? I'm sorry. That's your gig. Are you, like, drunk guy on the radio? Is that your gig? That's, like, your thing that you do?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, that's jerk.
I love this.
Or just even a hint of, like, professionalism
nice
on the radio.
Nice rock star.
You know? That'll be sweet.
Ooh. Ooh. Showed up a little drunk.
There's nothing that I equate more with, like, a rock than professionalism, and that's what you really want.
Are you, like, drunk guy on the radio? Is that your gig? That's, like, your thing that you do?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. If I had known coming in, then it wouldn't have been as weird, but I'm sorry.
I'm glad we got it all out in the air, though. It's cool.
Yeah, we're just airing it out. We're squashing it.
Don't squash it.
All right.
We actually like to wrestle. That's what we like to do.
Yeah. We problem solve is what
we
do.
We're really strong, though.
You wrestle each other?
Really f***ing strong. Yeah, yeah. We do wrestle each other. And other people when we feel like it. Like when provoked, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a gentle kind of person. My wife is right over there, so I don't want anything to do with it. Guys, have a great show.
We're not gentle people at all, actually.
Have a good show, guys. Appreciate
it,
man.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Guys.
Thanks for talking to us.
No worries.
Well, the one guy's nice.
Yep.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit, or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Mike was great. And, you know, that's the way that, you know, you roll with an interview like that. Mike was great.
I mean, where else can you get hard-hitting questions about fake abuse in school? You know, where else can you get that?
I mean, Mike's great. He's trying to roll with the punches, but then you got Brandon.
Do you have anything, like, good to offer the conversation besides booze breath?
No.
Chachi from down the hall. Brandon Boyd and my program director have something in common. They're both pricks.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He had to go against our defense every week. So, like, Stiddy had it tough because he had Bill yelling at him about protections, about what to do that our offense would do. But then Bill would come back and say, well, they don't do that, so do it this way. And then he'd have all of us screaming, talking trash to him. So I love his poise. I think Stiddy out there, like, I would be faking a blitz sometimes, and we make eye contact, and he'd just start smiling and laughing. And then to me, there was weeks where, like, he was just on point. And those were some of our best weeks as a defense, mainly because Stiddy ate us up in practice leading up to the game and I think put more pressure on us. So I really admire just how hard he works. And then I've gotten to know him off the field as well. He's a really good guy, young guy, but very mature. He's married, does all the good things. So, you know, I think the Stidhams are going to be in New England for a long time.
Nine eight five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. My son and daughter are sleeping with my wife. My daughter sleeps on the floor, and my son sleeps in a winter jacket in the bed with my wife. And I'm pretty sure that's not healthy. But I snore. And apparently, not only do I snore, I gag. So I'm not going to be around for long. Jim McBride... Jim McBride, I miss.
Guskowski miss... wasn't around for long.
I miss Jim McBride. I miss his. I miss his. No, I seriously, I miss the on Sundays. I miss his encapsulation, his predictions for the game. But Jim McBride covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He broke the Guskowski news, Mr. McBride. Hello.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Do you think my children are going to have issues because my son sleeps in a winter coat during this virus with my wife?
If they're avoiding you gagging, then no, I think they'll do just fine. I think they're going to grow up great.
Yeah, I think that they'll grow up and they'll get a new father who's more caring. That's the goal. That's my goal. It's just a quick death. So, what was the? How'd you find out about all this with Guskowski, and what was the reasoning?
Well, you know, just a little detective work, but I think the reasoning, you know, from what I understand, is more salary related than injury. I think they, you know, that Guskowski's going to, you know, recover fine from that hip surgery. We saw him in January one day in the locker room. He's still a little bit of a hitch, but. He was talking about, you know, coming back and playing this year. So I think somebody will grab him up. But, yeah, this was just a salary move, really, to try and get some much-needed cap space. It wasn't a reflection of his performance by any means.
Okay, so how underrated do you think, or do you think, because it always seems like games come down, and this is very simple. I mean, I'm not breaking any news, but, you know, games can come down to kicking. It seems to be an undervalued position. What do you think about the Patriots taking this chance? I mean, if you look around the NFL, it's terrible. I mean, kickers are terrible right now. What do you think about taking the chance of, you know, getting rid of someone who's been pretty steady over the course of a lot of years?
Yeah, it's risky because, you know, there's a lot of teams out there, like you say, that need a kicker. So I don't think he'll be out of work for very long. You know, the thing with Steven is he was so good for so long. You know, his accuracy is right around 85%. I think it's fifth best all time. But when he missed because he was so good and people were so used to seeing him make field goals, when he missed one or he missed an extra point, which he rarely did before they moved it back, you know, it got kind of blown up because, you know, people got panicky. But, you know, his misses came in big spots. I mean, there was a couple in the Super Bowl. There was one in that 2015 AFC Championship game, that the extra point. So it just got magnified when he missed one because he was so consistent for so long. I know the reaction when I tweeted the news out yesterday was probably 50-50. People was, you know, there were some people that were devastated, and there were other people that were like, oh, good riddance. And I don't really understand that mindset, because he really was so consistent for so long. So, you know, he'll be tough to replace. It's a risk, but, you know, the Patriots have a dozen draft picks. So if they want to grab someone, they'll certainly be able to do it. You know, they took kind of this risk last year with Ryan Allen. He was probably one of the best punters in the league. Could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl, and they let him go, and that worked out okay because Jake Bailey ended up being a great player. So it's a risk for a second straight year.
Jim, what do you think is the end game in all this? I mean, with getting rid of Stephen Gostkowski, you know, we've heard a lot over the past 24 hours about how he's the fifth most accurate, you know, kicker of all time. On top of that, you know, you've got, you know, Brady leaving, and it looks more than likely Stidham's going to be the guy, and they're freeing up this cap space. Like, when you just look at ultimately what Bill Belichick has done or has not done over the last couple of months, what do you think his plan is here?
Yeah, I think this, you know, with Gostkowski specifically, it was money. I'm not sure, you know, I can't wait to hear Tom's press conference today to find out, you know, what his, you know, what his thinking was. But I think it's trying to get a reset.
I'll tell you real quick. I'm going to tell you what his press conference is going to be. He's going to talk about how the coronavirus can be solved with his stupid TB12 crap, like that stupid video he put out yesterday.
That I can tell you that was weird and a slight bit tone deaf.
If only Dr. Fossey knew about electrolytes, we might be all set.
Maybe that's why he's been missing some of these press conferences.
I like
he's
Fossey
consulting with Tom Brady. You know,
I like Fossey having to like shut down Trump.
I think it's Fauci, I believe. Fauci.
I thought it was
Fauci.
There's a lot of speculation to where he was yesterday. When Trump came on yesterday, the first thing on my Twitter feed was, where's Fauci? Where's Fauci?
So, Fauci.
You know, people love him.
Okay, well, you mentioned the money. Money for what? Like, I still don't understand what Bill Belichick is trying to, like, as you said, restart. Is he pressing the restart button? Is he holding out this year to maybe get a stud quarterback next year? Or I mean, what, like, I just don't know what his plan is. And when Gostkowski, you know, when they released him for $2.4 million in cap space, I'm still trying to figure out cap space for what? Like, can you see kind of an end game in all of this?
Well, I think they still have to replace some guys on defense. You know, they lost a lot of linebackers, Roberts, Collins, Van Noy. They only really signed Copeland. So I think there's some money that's got to be dedicated there. I think there's money for, you know, a receiver to be signed at some point. So, you know, reset probably is not the right word because, you know, Bill's so ultra competitive. He's never going to, you know, I saw a lot of people saying tank for Trevor Lawrence. This franchise, as long as Bill's there, they're never going to tank. And I still think even with Jarrett Stidham, they can win the AFC East. You know, you look at the competition, the Dolphins are still a little bit away. The Bills are certainly a formidable foe. And then you have the Jets, and they're, you know, they're the Jets. So
But they have the best quarterback in the division.
According to Manish, but I'm not sure that's...
They got Sammy D.
You know, I think when all is said and done between him and Josh Allen, Sam Darnold will be a better quarterback. But right now, with that defense, I'd rather have Josh Allen because the Bills have a really good defense. And, you know, he makes things happen with his feet and his arm. He's got to get more accurate. And now he's got Stephon Diggs. So, you know, I think the Bills are the team that will challenge.
All right. So, okay, go ahead, Rich.
Okay, well, I mean, so when you take a look at Tom Brady and how this all ended, and you've heard what, you know, Kraft has said and what Bill Belichick has said, what were you hearing was not the final offer, but basically what the Patriots would have been willing to do to keep Tom Brady? Because that's the only thing that we don't really know. Like, because we know that, you know, Kraft has said if he wanted to stay here, he could stay here. But what would that have been? What would that have looked like money-wise, year-wise? What do you think was the final thing that they would have been willing to offer?
You know, that's a really good question, Rich. I'm not sure. You know, they certainly would have made a deal if they had one, but if there was one to be made. But these reports about, you know, 2 years, $50 million, that's a lot of money for a 43-year-old quarterback, and the Patriots really didn't have it. You know, I'd heard before that Tom was more concerned about weapons than getting the money. But I don't know. I look at that contract he signed with Tampa Bay, and that sure seems like it was about the money. I've also heard this narrative that, Tom didn't feel like he was being treated as the superstar he was. And that doesn't make any sense to me, because of all the time I've been around him and the time that he's been here, he's been the ultimate team player, a guy that wanted to be treated like everyone else. So to think that he woke up one morning and said, hey, I'm a superstar, I need to be treated like that, it just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not sure what the number was. From what the people I've talked to, it sounds like his mind was made up. And then you look back at that contract he signed last summer with the two ghost years at the end, and the fact that his house was on the market, that Alex's house was on the market, you kind of start to connect the dots. Kind of forgot about that during the season as the games were being played. But then it was right after that loss to Tennessee, you started to think, well, you know what? Maybe this does make sense. Maybe Tom isn't coming back. So what it would have taken, I'm not sure. But from everyone I've talked to, it sounds like his mind was made up before, offers either got made or countermade by either side.
Jim McBride, what do you think of Stidham? People talk about him at Auburn and that he was in an offense that was ill-suited for him. Obviously I've not seen him in practice. What are your feelings on him?
I watched him last summer and, really strong camp. Started off a little slow, but had a really strong camp. It's funny, listening to Devin McCourty all the time I was down there, I never heard anyone call him Stiddy, so that's kind of a great nickname.
Stiddy. I don't know if that one's going to stick.
Someone from a Christian, cartoon.
What? What kind of Christian cartoons are you reading?
I don't know. The Doofus and Crapface.
David
I don't
and
know.
Goliath.
One in the doctor's office.
Claymation, David and Goliath.
Maybe when he's being elusive, they call it the Stiddy Twister. Who knows? Do you get around people?
Well, I think that it's more of a holier than that. I think Slater gave him the nickname. All right, so
I think one of the things they really liked about him was his mental toughness. Like Devin talked about, having Bill yell at him during practice. But, you go back to his college career, he started at Baylor and ended up leaving there when they had that sex scandal in the athletic department. Goes to the SEC. His first year as a starter, he beats Alabama and Georgia back-to-back weeks. And they were both ranked number one at the time. So, clearly he's played against the top, the top college players in the SEC. So I think they really like him. And it's going to sound like a cliche, but I think they really feel like they got a steal getting him in the fourth round last year. And that's why you haven't seen them make a play for, Andy Dalton, who's been linked to the Patriots ever since Joe Burrow started playing well last fall, or Cam Newton. I think they're comfortable with these guys. And, Hoyer makes perfect sense because, he can challenge for the starting job, sure, because he's got such great knowledge of his offense. But he can also be a real, mentor for Stidham. So I think I think they're comfortable right now with the spot. Now, if one of those big name guys get released, maybe, and they come cheaper, maybe the philosophy will change. But I think they like who they have in house right now.
Rich brought up the Deshaun Watson, that Vegas has got Deshaun Watson as a favorite to go to the Patriots after his deal's done. What's your feelings on that?
It would be really interesting. It would be so fun to watch Deshaun play, but, he's going to command upwards of $30 million on his next contract, and I can't see the Patriots paying that for one position, the quarterback position, because the way you win in this league is to have your quarterback on a pretty, reasonable deal. And if he's making 30 to 35, there's no money for anyone else. So, while it would be exciting to see him up here, I think the odds are pretty long.
All right. Well, Jim McBride, so do you like Buffalo in this division, or do you still think the Patriots are the best team?
I still think the Patriots have enough pieces in place to win this division. I think Buffalo is a comer for sure, but I still think the Patriots have enough veteran presence. They've got, I know they've got to replace some guys in the linebacking core, but for the most part, that defense is really great. And the secondary has so many valuable and versatile pieces that they keep those young quarterbacks thinking about it. And, I think Darnold and Josh Allen are still going to be a little spooked when they see what the Patriots play.
No, Darnold's going to not be spooked. But what is your is Kyle Van Noy, because I want your impression of this because I respect you very much. Is Kyle Van Noy a piece that you think is worth what he got in the open market?
Yeah, no. I think he was a perfect fit in New England, and you know, for what they did and how they were able to use him. But we'll see if he can be that same player in Miami. You know, he really turned his career around once he got here, and I think it's because the Patriots had identified pretty quickly that, you know, what they could use him in, and he blossomed. He's a guy that really fed off winning, and I think winning is still a few years away from Miami. You know, he would get very frustrated after games when the Patriots lost. So, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that in Miami than he ever was used to in New England. So it'll be interesting to see how his mentality, if he's able to maintain that, you know, that kind of attitude.
All right. Well, Jim McBride, I am actually a big fan of yours. I don't say that very often to our guests. Oh, yeah, right. Thanks. You're lying. but Chad Finn does an excellent job now doing what you did. But I do miss your columns on Sunday. I would often cut them out of the newspaper to use on Monday. But thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Stay well and stay in.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's unfortunately what I'm doing. All
right. Thanks, Jim. Right, thank appreciate you, it, man.
Thanks, Jim. Thank we you. Appreciate it. All right. We will be right back.
I am issuing the following emergency order. Effective Tuesday, March 24th at noon, all non-essential businesses shall close their physical workplaces and facilities to all workers, customers, and the public. This order will remain in effect until Tuesday, April 7th at noon. I'm also directing the Department of Public Health to issue a stay-at-home advisory outlining self-isolation and social distancing protocols.
The Sports Hub, that's Governor Charlie Baker. And one of the smartest things he did, and it's not for me, is that liquor stores are considered essential businesses. Because I'm telling you can get away with a lot, but if you take the liquor stores away from people, they're going to revolt.
For a while, the dispensaries was rumored were going to stay open for recreational use, but then they said, nah, only for the medical stuff. So apparently there's a run on weed right now. And until noon today, I think you can still get it recreationally.
Go get a medical card. It takes 10 seconds. So go get yourself a medical card.
Might be a little tough to do that now. Well, I don't think anybody wants to go to a doctor now.
Well, Rich, do you really think it's like a doctor's office where they're treating patients? I mean, you just go to a doctor's, a quote unquote doctor's office. My wife had one forever. We don't like weed anymore.
No, I'm just saying that now it might be tough to do that to go to any doctor's office.
I don't know, but they're not. They are doctors that specialize in distributing marijuana. They're not like doctors that, like, you know, treat broken legs. It's easy. My wife had one. We have like 3 ounces of weed in here, and we've had it for forever. So, based on my wife's medical card, but she let it lapse. And I'm not upset about that.
I just realized yesterday I don't have enough screens to do all the stuff that apparently we need to do for school. I use obviously a computer for the show. My wife is teaching a class. Like she's a teacher at one of the colleges, and both of my kids starting next week, not this week, have to do school online at the same time. So there's going to be a period of time where four of us are going to be online doing like our school or our work all at the same time. First of all, God bless the Wi-Fi. Hopefully it's able to handle all this. But I realize that I don't have enough screens for that. So I had to order like an iPad so one of my kids can go to school while the rest of us are working.
So it's live school?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So
Be nice, Mr. Private School.
No, my school's doing it, too.
Public schools are doing
that. Tomorrow morning.
Everyone's doing that. That's the way it's going to be.
Not Newton schools.
What are they doing?
They give you, like, lessons that you're supposed to, and they just did it this week. They just give you these lessons that you're supposed to do.
You see, I've got a, I have a buddy very... who's got four kids, and he's working from home. And all four kids started school this week, and they're all online. And it is a public school. But, I mean, think about that. They've got four kids in different parts of the house. There's not enough room for them. So they got four kids in, like, different parts of the house all on screens at the same time while he's working on a screen. And he said that it's, you know, they had to find, like an old laptop that they hadn't used in years that he just hadn't thrown away in order to pull out. And I know that some of the schools for people who don't have them are able to provide them for you. But, you know, that's not quite the easiest thing to get right now.
And the kids just jump on and they just go like, oh, hooray, here's school. Because that's not happening in my house.
No. I mean, so very like 8:30. School starts and ends at 1:30.
That's not what's going on here. I took a nap yesterday from like 1 to 3, and then when I woke up, I came downstairs and my son and my wife were in a full on battle. It's not good. It's not good. If they cancel school for the rest of the year, which I don't think they're going to do. But if they cancel school for the rest of the year, he's going to repeat. There's no way. I mean, it's not good.
So when you say they're sending lessons, like what are they doing?
There is like a video that for social studies that's like about kids that don't have school, like in Africa and stuff. And he's supposed to watch that this week and then like answer some questions. My daughter's elementary school is very – I'm not going to get into what my kid's situation is. But my daughter's school has been very vigilant about the elementary school, about getting her things to do, and she's been very nice about it. I've become very close with my daughter. She sticks to me like glue now. Yeah, she just like – because I play basketball with her. But the stuff with my son has not been overly impressive with what's going on there. So I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. I forget it. I don't know how to phrase it in a way that would be.
well, yesterday I had forgotten that.
My kids need a little bit more than your kids need. So,
I mean, right now it's insane because, you know, especially on a day like yesterday where it's raining, like, what you're just trying to do is keep these kids from beating the crap out of each other. So you want them to get out and do something physical. And like, so yesterday I was at a point where, so here's the thing is that I was thinking about, I have this weird moral dilemma, and that is, I want to order and help like small businesses and get things here that maybe keep the kids busy, like order like books from like local bookstores. But also, you know, the delivery people, like I don't want them to have to risk their, you know, getting sick, delivering stupid stuff that's unnecessary to your home.
No.
So like where do I fall on that moral compass?
So,
you know?
Okay, so I have, I said it yesterday, you weren't here. Is that I know two people that own local restaurants here that are going out of business. This is ruining their business. Both of them said, one said they were down 80%, one said they were down 70%. The best thing you can do is local business. And the delivery people are fine. They leave it on your front doorstep. Believe me, the delivery people are fine. But
well,
did you hear that apparently
Instacart, Uber Eats and like Domino's Pizza are like dying for people to work for them now. Like they're clamoring for people to work so they can fulfill the demands that they're getting from these people.
Right, but don't feel at all guilty. In fact, you're doing the right thing because these businesses are dying.
Because that's what I've been trying to do. Like, but then I'm like, all right. But then again, there's like a delivery person who, if they're, you know, end up like delivering like puzzles and books. I wonder if they're like, let's look at these a-holes. I'm risking my life to something to keep these, you know, stupid kids occupied. Do I tip that? No, I don't. I mean, I do if it's online. If there's a choice,
fair
to over tip them.
Fair enough. I it doesn't matter if you tip them. They're making money.
But if it's like,
but beyond
FedEx,
that,
no, I don't do anything like that.
No, but beyond that, you're supporting these businesses. It's a very real problem, and it's a problem that's going to have to be sorted out at some point. Is because I know two businesses that are closing, and I know another business that might
have to. Yeah, a lot of them got to.
And a business that my wife works for is closing a location. Because, John, they've shut down the Natick Mall.
Yes.
Well, all the malls are closed.
Yeah, and so, you know.
Well, there's a Wegmans that's open, but yes, the rest of the mall is.
Fair enough, John. Yes. Thank you for interjecting that fact into it. But these businesses are dying, so there's going to have to, at some point, be a decision made that, you know, when is the proper time to start this again? Because they've said there could be a 30% unemployment rate. And you know what the unemployment rate was during the Great Depression? It was 20%. So at some point, there's got to be a decision made. But
well, hopefully it's when the numbers of people who are dying go down.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you can't choose.
Rich, I'm not arguing with you.
Well, the only reason I'm saying this is because there's a weird push over the last 24 hours of, like, I mean, you heard the president even say that yesterday. It's like the cure can't be worse than the actual disease. Right.
Arguing with you, and I understand your situation. It's just heartbreaking to see these people lose. I mean, one of the women that owns a business has worked 16-hour days every day, 7 days a week, and she's going to lose her business because she can't afford the utilities and the rent. So, I mean, it's a dicey situation. But when we come back, we're going to have audio that I am going to listen to, and we're going to forget about the problems of the world, and we will be right back.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.